Thanks, Pete. Good morning. So, as we all know, the 4th of July is coming. I know about you, but I feel like it's still February and March. I can't believe it's 4th of July is next week already. But what are you doing to celebrate? You know, this is coming up on our 241st anniversary of our independence from Great Britain. It's a long time. It's also a long enough time for a lot of people to forget what that really means. I think that a lot of our young people don't really understand over those 241 years what happened, you know, 241 years ago. But that's kind of what I want to talk about today. I want to take a closer look at the foundation of our country, of our nation. King David writes in Psalm 127:1, he says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord labors over the city, watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain." It says a lot about what it means to be a nation under God. So today what I'm going to share with you is what I've learned about the founding of our nation related to God's word. And I ask that you too weigh this message against his word. I learned an awful lot researching this in the past week, and I think this is a message that we all need to hear and remember. But let's pray first. Lord, thank you for gathering us here today. We pray that you would bless our time together in our songs and in our prayers and in the message, your word. Just pray that you would give me wisdom to use your word to strike others and have them gain a clear understanding of it, and that we would be able to take it away and share it with others, that others might draw closer to you. We ask that you would be with those that are not here today and they're traveling or with family. We ask that you would bless their time away, Lord, and bring them back safely to us. We pray for Pastor Jack and his family as he and Melissa is there away at a wedding, and pray for that time, for the Zielinskis too. Lord, just bless us all here today. And Lord, we thank you for our country and the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think it's amazing that that all the time that I spent getting ready for this, and Jack does this week over week. I don't know how he does that every week. He must have a really good library to go back into and pull out sermons, because it takes a lot to do this, I'm telling you. So are you someone who's unashamedly patriotic? Well, I can say I am. You know, I like to fly a flag all the time with a light on it in the front yard, and, you know, talk about our country and you know, how proud I am to be a citizen here. And I think that across our country, you might find many people that would quickly say that that kind of nationalistic display or that kind of patriotism is not appropriate for Christians. They might argue that it's adultery to pay honor to our nation. But I really think that the Bible says that all good gifts come from God, and it's definitely not adultery to give thanks for the blessings that we've received and enjoy as a nation. And I believe that there's a way to be unashamedly patriotic and be unapologetically Christian. So as we see in the Bible, God has over the years ordained distinctive nations to accomplish his purpose. And in Deuteronomy, as you can see on the slide, it says, "When the Lord your God has blessed you, as he has promised you, you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. You will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you." And in Joshua 23:3, "And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for it is the Lord your God who has fought for you." If you know much about Joshua, Joshua always turned to God as he went and he battled over other nations, and God saw him through all those battles and made his nation great. But it was because he looked to God for guidance and wisdom. And he was the leader, and he always turned to God for guidance and leadership. So I think the best way for us to understand God's purpose for America and for the United States and our role in that purpose is to gain an understanding of our heritage, you know, from the founding fathers. And through the years, God has blessed our nation, as I said. Do you realize, I didn't know this, but do you realize that the United States has just over 50% of the whole world's resources, yet we have 4% of the population? Is that a coincidence, or is that a blessing from God? I think that we have enjoyed the abundant blessings of God as a nation because of the foundation that our country was built on. James Madison, who was one of the driving forces behind our Constitution, he said, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not on the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of all of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." So I think, as a founding father, without a doubt, America was intended to be a Christian nation. But I think what we have to realize, that with that said, comes a great responsibility as a Christian citizen in the United States. So let's focus on four reasons why it's important for us to understand our heritage and our history. One, I think we would agree that our nation's been blessed, right? We've been blessed materially, geographically, educationally, technologically, right? So materially, we are one of the wealthiest or the wealthiest nation in the world. Geographically, we have all kinds of resources geographically all over the country, finding oil and shale oil and all kinds of natural resources in our country that we just didn't realize we had. Educationally, everybody comes here to be educated and goes back to their country. Technologically, can't argue that we have some of the greatest technology in the world. Steve Jobs, look at Apple. Just one example. So I think as we celebrate the 4th of July coming up, we need to be thankful to God and seek him for his continued blessings on our country, for our children's future. But also, I think at this time, especially at this time of world turmoil, I think we're really reminded that our freedom comes with an extremely high price, right? Thousands and thousands of young lives have been lost over the years through the world wars, Korea, Vietnam, the Middle East. But men and women throughout the history of our country have given their lives to make this country what it is, for our independence and for our freedom. Sorry. So it's been this way from the beginning. Out of the 56 who signed the Declaration of Independence, 5 were captured and tortured by the British before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 lost their sons in that war. 1 had 2 sons captured and tortured. 9 fought and died from wounds or the hardships of that war. And then some names. Carter Braxton of Virginia, he was a wealthy planter and trader who signed the Declaration. He saw all of his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. They blew them right out of the water. He had to sell his home to pay all his debts, and he died a poor man. Thomas McKean, he was once a governor of Pennsylvania and president of our Congress, was forced to move his family almost constantly because he was so hounded by the British. He served Congress without pay, and he died in poverty. And then finally, Thomas Nelson's home in New York was seized by the British at the Battle of Yorktown and was actually used as a command post by the British. Standing outside, he urged George Washington to open fire on his home. The home was totally destroyed, and he died bankrupt. And then third, Scripture is definitely not silent about nations, as Pete read for us. We learn that God is greater than all nations, that nations come and go, and that God uses nations as part of his plans, and that people from all nations will be part of his kingdom. I think what we need to think about as we celebrate Independence Day, we ought to consider the dangers and the things that have happened, like I described, from worldly conflicts and challenges. But I think what we also have to realize is that there's internal conflicts and there's spiritual conflicts that we have to battle. So God's word teaches us specifically what a nation is to do in order to receive and continue the blessings of God. So Psalm 33:12, as Pete read, blessed is the nation whose God is our Lord. So if you go back today and you read that entire psalm, you'll see very clearly what it means to be a nation whose God is the Lord. So I'm going to go through the verses and share with you what I drew from this. Verses 1 to 3 tell us that the nation whose God is the Lord, the people acknowledge and worship the living God. But these days, doesn't it seem that more and more our acknowledgments of God are fought against? Like praying before a graduation, or eliminating God from symbols or statements about our government. By that I mean, have you heard all the arguments about taking in God we trust off of our money? Do you know what the original symbol of the U.S. was? Put the next slide up. And we'll go back to that slide. But see, this is the symbol of the U.S. based on a drawing that Thomas Jefferson did during the Continental Congress. And I have that arrow there because that arrow is pointing to Moses parting the Red Sea. Continental Congress realized that the power of God was more powerful than anything that they could ever do. And that's what they wanted to symbolize as our country. That the power of God parting the Red Sea, and those are the Egyptian soldiers that are falling back. They wanted to make sure that everyone in that country knew that that's who they relied on. Pretty powerful symbol. You can go back to the last slide. Verses 4 to 6. A people who seek to know and do what the Word of God calls them to do. That's a question we can all ask ourselves, right? Do we seek to know what God is calling us to do? We need to continue to be a light of God in our neighborhoods, our communities, our workplaces, so that others will draw nearer to him. Verse 8, a people who fear the Lord and show him reverence. Just what you just saw, that symbol, showing reverence to God, saying that our nation is founded on our reverence and our fear of God. Verses 10 to 11, a people who seek the Lord's plans and not their own. What does the Lord have in store for us, not what we have, what we want to do? Verses 13 to 15. A people who know that they are accountable to the Lord and that God is watching over them and considering everything that they do. So with those, let's focus on a couple of them that I wanted to kind of draw out, and that's on the next slide. Keep going. There you go. But this is verse 5, and I think what this is telling us is, blessed is the nation that seeks righteousness. In Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In Isaiah 60:12, the nations and kingdoms which will not serve the Lord will perish. They will be utterly ruined. So righteousness is not only about doing what is right and not sinning, but it's about serving the Lord and doing his will. I think that's why that we have to pray for our leaders, that they will look to the Lord and serve the Lord and do what is right, even if we don't like them, even if we don't agree with them. We have to pray for them, because it's got to be God's way, or it's going to be a long, dark highway, right? It's about doing what's right within our country for us, as well as our dealings around the world and with other countries. You remember what I read first was that, you know, King David, after the King David passage, I said that, you know, you will be a country that lends to others but doesn't borrow from others. You know, if you look at the giving of the United States, we've been a very giving nation. I mean, that's what we're called to do. So personally, what can we draw from the Bible about righteousness? These are all things that we know, but I just want to bring them forward to you today. None of us are righteous by nature, right? We're all sinners. Amen? We don't become righteous just by doing what is good. You're not going to achieve righteousness by just being a good person and doing good works. We're made righteous through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So the only way that we're going to become righteous is to look to Jesus. Then the next slide, blessed is the nation that trusts in God. That's 33:21. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. We trust God that what he does is his will, and that's what we live by. Psalms 26 and 7 says, some nations boast of armies and weaponry, but our boast is in the Lord our God. Those nations will collapse and perish. We will arise to stand firm and sure. So what do we put our trust in as a nation? Our military, our intelligence, our technology, our history, our material wealth, all those things I mentioned? No, of course not. 2 Corinthians 10:3, one of my favorite passages, says, For although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Can any worldly military stand up to that? I don't think so. So trusting in the Lord has to be more than a slogan on our currency. It has to be our ever dependence on God, always. You know, this is a very contested like story that I'm going to tell you, but I found more consistency in this version than any other. But during the first Constitutional Convention, the delegates were really frustrated, and they were at almost a total impasse over what's called state representation. They had 13 states, and they all wanted to have representation within the government, and they were arguing back and forth about everything. How many people were going to be represented by New York because we're the biggest state and we deserve, you know, twice as many as Delaware or things like that. So they were arguing back and forth. It got so heated that they were all ready to leave. It seemed insurmountable. But in the heat of all this turmoil, what comes out in the literature is that Benjamin Franklin suggested that there should be daily prayer before the Constitutional Convention convened every day. Imagine that. But they went back and forth about that because at the time they had to figure out, believe this or not, but they had to figure out those type of services had to be paid for by a chaplain. So they had to arrange for a chaplain to come in, and they had to arrange his salary and things like that. So it held it up. Even back then, there was bureaucracy. So what they did was, and George Washington suggested this, was they passed a motion to first hold a church service that year in 1789 on July 4th. And all go to church together that July 4th. And then when they reconvened 2 weeks later, they were going to go to church, take a two-week break, and come back 2 weeks later and have services every day before they convened. So they were able to arrange for the chaplain. They paid them $500 a year for their service. And I guess the rest we can say is history, because everything was ironed out. They said that after that 2 weeks, when they all were able to pray together and be together before God, they realized that they were all part of one, you know, they were all part part of one movement. They needed to look to God together to get things done, and they did. And what's really interesting, right, is that that practice continues today. There's a chaplain service at the Senate and before the House every morning, and it's continued since it was passed in 1789. So we're called to trust in the name of the Lord. So God has blessed us as a country, right? We celebrate that fact on the 4th of July, and this is our 241st year to do so. But what about his blessings for us moving forward as a country, tomorrow and all the years to come? You know, the Lord not only gives us his word to teach us about the blessings for a nation, but he provides us with a test. He says, you know, what we can say is, how are we as the United States of America doing at making God the Lord of our nation? What are we doing? How are we doing at seeking righteousness? How are we doing in trusting in his name more than ourselves and our military? That's what we can take from Psalm 33. And then what can we as his people do for the future of America? One, we can live for Christ and be the salt and light where we are today. Okay. Little story about John Jay. He was the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, appointed by George Washington. But get this, his other job, he was the president of the American Bible Society at the same time. That wouldn't happen today, I don't think. He said this. He said, by conveying the Bible to people thus circumstanced, we certainly do them a most interesting kindness. We thereby enable them to learn that man was originally created and placed in a state of happiness, but becoming disobedient was subjected to the degradation and evils which he and his posterity have since experienced. I had to read that about five times to understand what he was saying. But that is Supreme Court justice gibberish for saying that because of original sin, we have suffered in a sinful world. Then he continues and he says, the Bible will also inform them that our gracious Creator has provided for us a Redeemer, in whom all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, that this Redeemer has made atonement for the sins of the entire world, and thereby reconciling the divine justice with the divine mercy, has opened a way for all of our redemption and salvation. And that these inestimable benefits are of the free gift and grace of God, not of our deserving, nor in our power to deserve. That comes from the Supreme Justice of the United States, Supreme Court Justice of the United States. How times have changed. So what can we do? We can live for Christ, as John Jay said. We can pray, number two, for our leaders, for revival, for our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, to hear God's calling. Share with them information about how our nation was founded, what it means. It's still a strong message 241 years later. Still rings true. 1 Timothy 2:1-3 says, first of all, then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Remember, as I said at the beginning, notice Timothy didn't say thanksgiving made for almost everyone. He said everyone. Pray for our leaders, even if we don't agree or if we disagree with them. And then number three, we can depend on the Lord for our true source of freedom, for our courage, and for our spiritual power. God is the one who we can trust for that, not our nation. One more quote for you. John Quincy Adams, our fifth president, he said this, the hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth, Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time. And may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That last piece comes from Isaiah 52:10. So John Quincy Adams was somewhat of a biblical scholar. But think about that passage and close your eyes, and you could hear that from someone today preaching from the pulpit, right? That we need to share the Bible throughout the world, throughout all the nations. It's still going on today. So with that, I pray that you have a wonderful 4th of July celebration. I hope that some of this sheds some light and gives you a little bit more view on what it really means. And may we all continue to praise Jesus, our Savior and Lord. May we seek righteousness and trust in the Lord for our lives, our family, and our country. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our nation. We pray that you would continue to bless us, that we might live as Christian citizens. Lord, that we might do your will, trust in you, be righteous. Lord, lead and guide us in that path. And be with us as we celebrate our country's founding. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.